I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I can't believe you're the age you are and you've not seen giraffes run on a TV show. What?
And the bulldog.
Long-range toddy. How would you make that up?
Someone did.
On WGR.
Sorry, I got a spit take out of Mike over here.
Someone did. It's great.
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, everybody, it's getting close. We're now within 24 hours of the beginning of the playoffs. The first game, Raiders-Bengals at 4:30 tomorrow. Then the game of our lives, if you are not yet to a certain age. A home playoff game you can go to in a full stadium or close to it. Maybe we should talk about that at some point. Against New England. The pressure is on. It's more of a pressure game, at least in terms of the fans or the organizations. I just mean that I don't know if players even feel any of it, really. I don't think they step on the field and line up thinking about whether their team is an underdog. But for us and for the organizations, this is supposed to be still the Bills' time more than it is the Patriots' time. Now you've got to beat them to keep that alive. It's going to be great.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, the year started with, you know, to me, I mean, here's your requisite mention of Bill Belichick throwing a telephone last year on Monday Night Football. Like, you know, the Bills comfortably beat them. The second time they played last year, the first one was pretty tight, of course, took a late fumble to secure the win, but it felt like the Bills had kind of dusted them. Tom Brady's gone, and it's over. And the way this year started, rookie quarterback, like, okay. I mean, I liked that idea well enough for New England. I thought it was a credible decision to have Mac Jones over Cam Newton. And I think that plays out. It shows, you know, they have made it here. But even with that, the way they started, even with the Bills having the rocky opener against the Steelers, by, you know, a month into the season, it felt like, see you later, you know, New England's done. And then they just started winning, and then it was, they're coming here for a Monday nighter, and if they win, they're passing you, and that happened. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's Freddy Krueger. I can't kill these people off. They just keep coming back. And, you know, here we go. The Bills go there and take the division back. But here it is. I think, you know, another game, and the stakes are extremely large. Talking with Sal earlier today, an hour ago, and Mike, you've made this comparison too. Like, Miami, you know, haunted us in the 70s, and it really wasn't until, even though the Bills, you know, had the success they had, winning a couple games in the 80s against them, it wasn't as one-sided anymore. It took until the playoffs in 90 to feel like I finally have got them. And it's funny to me, like, that comparison works if you push it even a little further, because the Bills had been in the playoffs in 88 and 89 with Kelly and with Marv Levy, but they never saw the Dolphins in the playoffs. They played them in the regular season, but it took until 90 to get there. And here we are with the Bills in 2021. I know it's 2022 now, but you get it, the 21 season, and Josh Allen and Sean McDermott had been to the playoffs together the previous 2 years. They never saw the Patriots in the playoffs, but now they do, and here we are. So it's time to, I hope, I don't know. I guess for now, because next year will be another year, and Mac Jones probably isn't going anywhere, as much as I don't think he's got much of a chance to be an impact player in this game. They'll probably be around here, But you need to clear the hurdle again. They keep putting a new hurdle in front of you, and it's the Patriots, and it's Belichick, and now it's the playoffs. So it feels like, you know, that 90 example with the Dolphins holds a little bit with the comparison I just made with the, you know, two playoff runs already or two playoff appearances with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott's quarterback, but now it's the – you know, it's the team that's been our nightmare for 20 years sitting there in front of you, much like it was the Dolphins in 1990.
This is the throwing of the phone mention segment, and it's also the before you were born Sneaky Joe segment of the show, this point about Miami. But yeah, there are parallels. I feel the way I did about that at that time, like everything you said. There's a certain extra, not pressure, not motivation, just a certain extra level of accomplishment for your organization to do this. You know, okay, New England, good year, but now you have to leave. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be cold, Joe. Great,
four
but
or
cold.
Five degrees.
It's gonna be so cold.
5 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah,
a more manageable around 10 degrees through much of the day tomorrow. But come nighttime.
So I will be in the broadcast booth for pregame, and I don't know when Murph exactly is going to arrive, but I heard him say on the drive-in today that he wants the windows open.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll have heaters, though. They have their heaters now.
Yeah.
Eric Wood cracked the code.
Maybe I don't have any experience with, like, a good heater, though. Like, I've had heaters. I've experienced heaters, but I don't think ever, like, a real good one, because they're always... like, not really working
way.
To me.
They've come a long way. Those little plug-in heaters can be pretty decent and reasonably safe.
You'd like to think so.
I'm still skeptical a little bit, but I trust you. I believe you.
You'd like to think there have been advancements. Hey, you know, Bulldog asked a good question when Sal was on about Gabe Davis. I like the question. Like, is it different after last week? You had miscommunication. You can't have that tomorrow, maybe. Unless the throw goes out of bounds, like
right.
Happened.
I mean, you get a wrong turn, a guy going in instead of out, and there's a DB there. Like, woo.
Do you guys think he meaning they lean more on the veterans with Beasley, Sanders? Obviously, I like Sal's point about Sanders. He could have played last week. It was said, and you know the guy's got a lot of playoff experience. This will be, of course, his first playoff game for this team, but he's played in Super Bowls for three other teams.
You know, I raised that with Sal because Davis, that was a really weird week. I mean, again, I know conditions play a part in it, but 14 targets, 3 catches, and turning the wrong way at least once, if not more than that. Yeah, I mean, I wonder. I mean, we hear about, well, we don't so much hear about, but we see Sean McDermott react to trust issues, right? How does Isaiah McKenzie end up losing the punt returner job to Marquez Stevenson? It's a muff here or there. You know, ball security with Devin Singletary last year in the playoffs. He drops a catchable pass that could have been an important, impactful gain, and he doesn't see the field again to the extent that TJ Yeldon is playing in a game where you're going home if you lose. So, like, I wonder. I mean, it's a new week. But I wonder if Davis hasn't worked himself into some degree of a doghouse with that performance last week.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it might be a split, and it's just whoever's playing better in the first or second quarter, whoever they feel like they're getting more from, that's the guy. I would have been banging the drum for Davis to be playing in front of Sanders and not even really be a competition for tomorrow's game, but that was brutal. It was brutal last Sunday. I still like his skill set and what it presents to this offense down the field, blocking the red zone more than I do Sanders. But Sanders is good. Like he's got a good skill set. I've never really had a question of how good he is as a route runner and whatnot, and what he still is even at this age as an athlete. It's always just been he's always weirdly not been on the same page as Allen. Balls over his head, miscommunications, Allen not seeing him. Or not even really having Allen's eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, who knows? It's logical. We've seen it many times in the playoffs where a team turns to its veterans, and we are talking about that just happening last week. I mean, Davis, even in last year's postseason, I think, maybe the Colt game.
Oh, the Colt game. The Colt... He had two tremendous catches on the sideline, at least,
right,
that were two of the most important plays in the game.
Right. I'm thinking about, like, the red zone. A lot of his portfolio as a Bill has been in the end zone. And so maybe he's still interesting there. I've said a couple times about this idea that I have that their good red zone plays have been running plays and their bad red zone plays have been passing plays, not in every case. Am I right? Do you guys feel that way or no? I don't know stats on it.
I think I get why you would say that. I mean, most recently with Singletary, suddenly, like, what has he got, 6 rushing touchdowns in the last, is it 4 weeks or 5 weeks?
Five rushing, 1 receiving, yeah.
Okay, all right. And, you know, what might be more in my head about their passing game down there is the way a couple of games have ended in the red zone. The New England game ended in the red zone with the Bills, you know, a chance to score the go-ahead or ultimately perhaps winning touchdown. Same in Tampa Bay. They never – well, they did run a little bit, maybe in Tampa first and goal in that sequence, or was that the New England game? I can't remember now. But the passing game has hurt them in the red zone late. You know, those couple of games, those are make a play and you win. Right? Maybe you're not even playing this weekend if you make some of those plays. I mean, the Tennessee game is a little different. That wasn't so much the passing game. Obviously, they were, you know, trying to sneak that in, or at least sneak it for a first down,
yep,
and then who knows where they go from there. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, the passing game has, I think, been in a weird spot down there. And they have been running it successfully. So I think that is something to watch. I feel like their red zone, since they have started running it more in the red zone, their touchdown frequency down there has improved. I don't feel like they're in a crisis anymore about the red zone, which maybe midpoint or three-quarters of the way through the season they kind of were.
Yeah, that's not the case anymore, at least by like the stats. They're seventh. They ended seventh in the league,
right,
in touchdown percentage in the red zone at 62%. And Allen throwing the ball, 28 touchdowns inside, well, 18 touchdowns, sorry, inside the 10 is really the one you want to look at, and there's only 4 guys above that: Stafford, Brady, Mahomes, Prescott. So he's throwing the ball a little bit more than all those guys except Brady, but, like, Davis has worked in the red zone.
Yep.
And Diggs, for the most part, has worked in the end zone. There have been 2 plays in the last 2 games that both kind of went through his hands. And that makes me think more about the cold, I guess, than
yes,
anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Diggs, Davis, even Beasley at times, although not so much this year, Knox really is the other name I want there. For guys that I feel like when they're getting the ball, like, that close in, it usually works.
Not Gilliam
yet.
Waiting to unleash that.
They saved it.
Unleash,
yep,
Gilliam tomorrow. Or Kumaro. We will see. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, the Duntire Roundtable. The smoking story of the week brought to you by Decades. Decades, Psychedelic Days, Western New York's grooviest smoke shop. For the second time this year before
so cold.
A Patriots night game in Buffalo,
so
it's the
cold.
Weather.
It's
yep.
So cold.
Negative wind chills. Not super windy, but you're going to
right.
feel it, they say. Temperatures, as we've said, in the single digits, maybe even the low single digits for most of this game. But let's talk about this again. So, total of 44. The line indicates that this should be a normal game, unlike, yes, we checked the numbers and it didn't get that low in terms of the over-under before, but that pregame show we did before the Monday night game was just like, look at this blowing over, you know, things in the parking
yeah.
lot.
Adam Schefter.
Right. Porta-Johns.
Yes.
Everything. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, like, yeah. How are you going to negotiate this? The Patriots did it in a winning effort to the tune of 3 pass attempts. So this, you know, normal game. This point about Allen and Diggs, too, like, We've had fans bring up, is there enough touch throws? Like, does he have the touch throw where this is a night where it could be tougher to catch the ball? That sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I just hope that the wind is the bigger problem. I think the wind is the bigger problem there, but that does not account for the ball, the condition of the ball, the feel of the ball on a night where it's going to be this cold. I mean, it's just it stands to reason it will be harder to corral it when it's thrown to you. Like maybe you're used to, like maybe a little more of the body instead of just the hands, you know, because of the slickness of the ball. And then, you know, that does pertain to Allen throwing it too. Yeah, I've said it stood out to me when Eric Wood mentioned how he talked to Jim Kelly after that. It wasn't the New England game. It was after the Atlanta game. And those conditions were maybe more like what we're going to see here as far as the, you know, slickness goes, that you need to take a little bit off it, make it easier for your guys to catch it. And instead, I think we've seen Allen trying to knife it through the wind and putting a little too much on some of those throws, shorter throws. Joe referenced already the couple in the end zone over the last, you know, few weeks that went through Diggs' hands. So hopefully they've been able to work that out. You know, if I'm not exaggerating the velocity that Allen is putting on those balls and that he needs to take a little bit off of it. But I feel like the wind not being the factor is going to really be a big difference from the first meeting with the Patriots. I mean, I know the ball is slick. It'll be hard to throw it and catch it, or harder anyway than it usually is. But, man, you've got some very talented people on the offensive side of the ball for the Bills, and if you've got slick footing, that could really favor them. You know, if Allen could just make a couple of those throws, you know, that to me, I'm starting down a path where I'm describing a recipe for the game to go over the total.
Yeah.
I guess in a certain way, because, you know, think about that Miami game from 90. Wasn't as cold as this, but it was slick and there was some light snow, and even maybe a little more than that. And, you know, the Bills put up 44 points that day. I know it's a whole different era and different people and all that, but the footing, I think, being questionable, if it ends up being questionable, and I think it almost certainly will, should favor the skill players. And I know that can work for New England too, but I like the Bills in that, and I think that there's a chance that they could have a better day moving the ball through the air than we're expecting.
I think if the same exact game script that happened week 13 were to play out on tomorrow night, just cold instead of wind, like, I feel like, to me, the Bills win that game. Like, the Diggs pass over the top where he kind of got it lost in the lights. And the other one have thought about a lot after that game, that week especially, was the back shoulder throw Allen to Diggs where he reaches one hand out and it's like a foot. It's like 6 inches to a foot just outside of his grasp. And you watch the camera angle from the back end zone and it looks like the ball moves a little bit due to just like a gust of wind. And like, okay, if it's 0 degrees there instead of being windy, like, that's a touchdown. And New England, I know, would probably not throw the ball three times only, but they still, like, even give them the Damian Harris touchdown. I just, that game script that they played has such a low margin for error that if the elements aren't helping you out, a bounce or two go the other way, and they could have went that way even with the wind, and the Bills win it.
I think of that game, too, for Allen being, like, under duress, but I'd probably just thinking of a couple of plays, including in those late sequences where they needed to score to win, they needed a touchdown to win, and he's running way out to the right and the pressure's on and end up taking a loss or end up not scoring at least. I mean, even that game with all the things that it looks like could have been different or done differently about that from the Bills standpoint, they still like dominated the fourth quarter. They still just needed, you know, they needed a touchdown.
They need one more play, yeah.
In that game, too, they did go for a fourth down four earlier in the fourth quarter. Or did they? No, they missed the field goal. That's what happened there.
They missed
the field goal. They probably should have done. I'm planning on giving them credit for that. But they missed the field goal, and then at the end of the game, still needed the touchdown that they could not get. The game in Foxborough was a much, much smoother day. Really polar opposites. I said I would get polar in. Because of the forecast here.
Even that game, like, when I think back to that game, it's okay, they beat them. Like, they control them. Like, they were the better team that day. But I had to remind myself a couple times that, like, they needed fourth down conversions on their last drive to prevent New England from getting the ball.
Yep.
And, like, going down and either taking the lead or tying it, whatever it was. So even that game, as much as it felt like to me the Bills were just supremely the better team, like, New England was right there.
Yeah, that drive was huge. I mean, we talked about it earlier today already. 26-21, 7.5 or 8 minutes to go. And that's a play that I know, Mike, you brought up specifically to Sam Monson, or he brought up to us. There's maybe the first play of that sequence, that series, is a pass that's pretty wildly over Diggs's head that J.C. Jackson just can't corral. And if he does, I mean, holy cow. And then, you know, like Joe's saying here, the fourth downs on that drive, you know, you needed every one of those to end up looking like, you know, well, you did win the game comfortably, but it wasn't exactly comfortable. I know I didn't feel that comfortable taking over with that time left and the 5-point lead, because I just felt like, you know, what's going to happen here? Am I going to run some clock and punt, you know, like run, incomplete pass, punt or something is what I was bracing for. And instead I got fourth downs and I got an ice the game touchdown instead.
Right, the Bills never punt in that game in the win in Foxborough. Our special playoff Facebook Live broadcast today has been on since 4 o'clock over there. Brought to you by Value Home Centers, your hometown team, valuehomecenters.com. For over 50 years, Value Home Centers has served the do-it-yourselfer. Value is conveniently located in your neighborhood, and each store has a hardworking and talented team ready to help you with your next project. Shop in-store or online today and let their experts help you find the products you need from the brands you trust. Whatever you're working on this year, Value is ready to help. Visit valuehomecenters.com to find a location nearest you. We will talk more Bills-Patriots and also the AFC playoff picture. If the Bills get the win tomorrow night, you can sit back Sunday night and, I guess most people would, root against the Chiefs. A Steeler win there would change the brackets, and you'd play the winner of the first game tomorrow instead. That's if the Bills win. That would not be New England's path. So we'll do some more of that as well as we continue the Duntire Roundtable. Also streaming on Facebook, WGR's Facebook page. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
The defensive side of the ball was fascinating in that game as well. The Bills increased their blitz frequency rather significantly in that game. They played far more man coverage in that game than had been their tendency throughout the season. They played both cover one with the single high safety, and they played a lot of snaps of two-man coverage with two high safety. But the important point, if the offensive line is potentially a concern with Wynn being out, now you have a backup if the Bills choose to pressure again, who's got to really do a lot of thinking through the looks and where the pressures might be coming from. And so much about blitz and pressure has to do mentally before the snap, understanding the look and where the pressure could be coming from.
That is the voice of Greg Cosell, prominent analyst, visits One Bills Live on WGR each week. I was thinking about bringing up a defensive point, too, when we look at the game plan. In fact, let's just downright construct the game plan while we're doing that. It's brought to you by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Micah Hyde with two interceptions in that game in Foxborough. But you have the challenge the Bills seem to be facing tomorrow night with New England's offense, given what happened in the two meetings, is the running game. Damien Harris and even Ramondre Stevenson or Brandon Bolden as well. Not quite sure how New England will balance that. Bolden tends to play more in third down situations. But Harris, I mean, four touchdowns in the two games, including the big one that really set things up in that first meeting. By the way, no small thing if you ask me. The Patriots made it 8-0 on that touchdown, not 7. And 8-0 is such a hammer. I just love that for my team when it's 8-0, because what does the other team do? Like, it's sort of it messes with your mind psychologically. You want to tie the game, but then you're doing their thing. And in that game, the Bills scored and made it 8-7. So they never got there. Anyway, stopping the run against the Pats, the Bills are an excellent team against the pass, but they've had bad days against teams that run it, including this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you can talk yourself in circles, and you often do. I mean, you joked around when we had Trey Wingo on an hour ago how we were talking about, you know, punt blocking, blocking on punts for the Bills to avoid a catastrophe like we saw last week and against the Steelers in the opener. So, I mean, you can go down all kinds of different roads. But with all that said, this game, to me, does come right back to, do the Bills do a decent job, a better job than they did, I guess I want to say, in either meeting, but really the game here in the wind is the one where you had the big run get broken. And like that is just something I think they have to avoid. And I don't know that, you know, that they will, just because they want to or we want to. I mean, you know, those guys wanted to make those plays the first time around. But you know, you just hope that that they've like learned from what's happened in those games and have some better handle on, you know, what New England is doing blocking wise, and that they, you know, that they don't, I'm thinking of Edmonds here specifically, maybe a little bit of Micah Hyde, don't over pursue on some of those plays, knowing that that is something that Harris in particular will look to exploit. But this game to me is can the Bills stop the run? Or at least just control the run, or not allow New England to control the game with the run. Because I've said it all week, I just do not see Mac Jones throwing, you know, 25 completions and winning this game for New England. I mean, I just do not see a game script like that. Conditions are not. But especially in these conditions against that defense, that pass defense, I think they will get to him and pressure him into mistakes if they – and if they try to use him too much, if they try to ask him to do too much, I think they'll be getting in trouble. And the only way that they'll get there is if they can't control the game by running. So that is the thing in this game, in this matchup for the Bills, is that they need to control, at least on defense. You know, on offense, they, you know, you might want to say that go ahead, let New England do their thing running. They ran all over the Bills in the first meeting, and they got 14 points to show for it. So if I can throw the ball and score, you know, 24, 27 points, I think I'm putting this game out of reach for New England.
The three Patriots losses that have all kind of come recently, the Colts, the Bills, and the Dolphins, it's all kind of the same thing. Like, how do you take them out of being able to control the game and run the football? It's just get out ahead early and kind of prevent them from being able to do that, at least to the same rate that they might want to, and make them be uncomfortable in throwing the ball more than they want to. Like, if I'm Belichick, if I'm Josh McDaniels coming into this game, I'm probably thinking, I'm not thinking three pass attempts. Like, what's the perfect number of Mac Jones attempts if I'm the Patriots?
20.
Yeah, 20. 15 to 20. And if, like, the Dolphins got out ahead 14-0 on them last week. The Colts got out ahead 14-0 against them on that Saturday night game. Yep. And what were the Bills? Maybe, like, 10-0? Whatever that was, 17-7. They got out 17-7 in the second quarter. And it was the same thing all three games. Jones has to throw the ball a little bit more than they want to. They don't have enough time. They don't have enough drives left. Just they're doing simple counting. We don't have enough drives left to be running the ball 60% of the time. So now we got to go back to our rookie quarterback, and three times that they've been tested in that game script, they've come up short. They almost did it in the Colt game, but they just fell a little bit short.
The Dunn Tire Roundtable here on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe, also streaming live, special playoff edition here on the WGR Facebook page. We have completely, partly because of what happened here when the Patriots were here in December, dismissed the entire New England passing game all week. Like, has any Patriots player, pass catcher, been mentioned once? We haven't talked about Aguilar versus Myers versus
Henry.
I mean, N'Keal Harry, is he still somebody? And you've got Hunter Henry. Yep, Jonnu Smith as well.
Kendrick Bourne
might be the best one, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the season, not that this matters now, but beginning of the season, like, well, wow, New England is pouring money. Last year they said they couldn't do it, and they won six or seven games. This year they poured money into skills, but it didn't look like maybe they had gotten a lot out of it. But, I mean, you've got a couple of interesting players there. I think, whatever, this is fantasy Mike, I guess, but I think Stevenson is, like, explosive. He's the guy I would want to have. If I'm the Patriots, he's the guy I'd want to have sort of do things in this game or any game. But Harris is good. I mean, he was PFF's number one graded running back for the season, I believe. Which, I mean, think about that, right? Jonathan Taylor and the Bills would have been witness to that a little bit too. And then
I'm maybe as responsible as any one of the three of us for not like allowing the conversation about the New England passing game to really get off the ground, because I just don't. I could be surprised. I've been surprised and wrong before. Sure. It just would really surprise me if, you know, I'm not saying they won't get a play or two, but I just don't expect there to be something that makes the difference in this game. I mean, I guess one play could, but I just don't see them having a lot of success against this defense throwing the ball. You know, unless they just come with something completely foreign to the Bills, and I mean, at this point, I just can't imagine that. You know, where they just flip the script and have Mac Jones throw it 50 times in the freezing cold. I mean, that just seems insane. I'm guilty of not having a lot of regard at all for any of their skill position players, and it really comes down to, I don't think Mac Jones is going to be able to consistently get any of those guys off in these conditions.
And I'm not the guy usually to make this point, and I don't really even fully believe in it, but one thing I heard driving in today on whatever show it was, I forget what it was, but Jones has the worst QBR in the league since that three-attempt game against the Bills. And again, this is not the point I would get right to, but it was he fractured mentally after that game? Like, oh, they just won the game basically without me. How much of a part of this really am I? Because since he's been kind of bad.
That I think he should be able to roll with, but who knows? Let's take a timeout. It's the Duntire Roundtable. Coaching matchup, super interesting, too. We'll have more to say, and we'll look around the AFC and the playoffs as well next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We have lacrosse tonight, by the way, 7 o'clock. The Bandits are at home for a game against Georgia. This is WGR.
Steps into it, passes, caught, Diggs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it!
The Minneapolis Miracle, Stephon Diggs, 4 years ago tonight, as they stole that playoff game from the Saints. Joe Buck is good there. He was not wide open, he didn't say wide open, and he's excited, and it sounds great. I just want to say that, because I'm often critical of him. Sideline, touchdown, Vikings win. That's nailed it.
Yeah, that worked.
Here's the crowd,
right.
Right.
I'll be over here for a while. Just go ahead. Although I probably didn't last too long. Anyway, I liked it. Sounded good. The playoff picture here as we look around the league in a dash, or maybe a tiny bit longer, brought to you by Dashes. Shop the family of finer foods, Dashes Market. So if the Bills can win tomorrow night, they will find out who they play next Sunday night by the winner of the Steeler-Chief game. And if it's Kansas City, then it's Kansas City. If not, it would be the winner of the first game. If Pittsburgh were to upset the Chiefs, the Bills would face Cincinnati or the Raiders. And so we've been so immersed in Bills-Patriots, really haven't spent too much time on the rest of it, like we would in a year where the Bills are not in the playoffs or even on bye.
Right.
But, you know, the Chiefs are – this week is just massive. If the Bills win, next week will be massive if it's Kansas City. You know, higher stakes even last year, the game this year. There's also history there. So if the Bills get the win here, we'll still be sort of locked in going forward.
Yep. I tell you, the rest of these games you know, I'm thinking about we're going to have picks coming up here. Sadly, you won't be able to watch those on this stream because that ends at the top of the hour. But as we continue into the fourth hour of our show today, we'll do our picks. And I don't know. Like I've been thinking about it, you know, on and off during the breaks, looking at the lines and looking at the games. And like to me, the better quarterbacks are on the home teams exclusively. And although Rams Cardinals might be close. I think that's the closest of the six matchups as far as who's got the better quarterback. And, of course, all those home teams are favored. And, you know, in the case of Kansas City and Tampa, pretty heavily favored. 8.5 for Tampa, 12.5 for Kansas City. But I really think that the home teams are – it's so chalky. But And it's not to say you won't see an upset or two. Maybe you will. But as far as picking these go, I feel like I want to pick all six of the home teams and expect to go 4-2 at worst. Like, you know, because if something goes wrong, and it's not to say somebody can't win in there and just not cover, like Tampa or even Kansas City. But, man, I just think wild card round, trust the home team, trust the better quarterbacks to get things done. And I think most of these would be significant upsets if they happened. I mean, I think even Dallas, San Francisco, which is such a small line, 3, I think Dallas, just to me, they all around, that's a better team. San Francisco's had a nice year, and they've got some interesting players. But is Jimmy Garoppolo supposed to go into Dallas and beat Dak Prescott and the Cowboys? I mean, I just can't see it. So, I don't know. I feel a little bit like I'm not trying hard enough, but I think you can make a mistake in trying too hard.
Oh.
You know, sometimes you just look at football and go, they're better. All right, the number is a little intimidating, but come on.
I think we'll know which it was, whether you were trying hard, not hard enough, or too hard. We will know that by how it goes, how you do.
Sure.
If you go 5-1, you were definitely not trying too hard, just enough. The perfect amount of trying. Right, Joe?
Right. It is right. Like, every home team's really, to me, got the better quarterback. Like, it's a great list of quarterbacks that are hosting play. It's Burrow, it's Allen, it's Brady, it's Prescott, Mahomes, and Stafford. Like, to me, I would not pick against any of those guys. I know there will be upsets out of 6, but I also wouldn't be stunned if there wasn't.
I appreciate Bulldog making the Kyler Murray point. You guys and your Stafford. Who would rather have Matthew Stafford than Kyler Murray?
Boy.
I mean, he's like top 5 in everything this year.
Interceptions?
Including interceptions, yes.
In this game, I would rather have Stafford than Murray.
You yes. would?
Me yeah. too.
I am going Murray there because I told you yesterday, right? Like, I want to think that he, even with Hopkins out, on the road, etc., Kyler Murray is one of those players who's like, I got this. That's what you feel like about Allen, right? It just in the end, he's got to do more winning, you know, especially in the playoffs over the course of his career. Murray hasn't even had a shot yet. But
I would argue that Stafford hasn't had a shot yet.
Well, he's had 3, literally. I mean, he's had 3
yeah.
playoff games. I don't know if he was bad in those games, really, but I just know they lost.
The Cowboy game that there was the phantom pickup.
Game,
yeah, the one where he got robbed. McVay talked about that today, that he was really good in that game. But,
okay.
No, yeah, like he did play 3 playoff games. But I just, at times, he just looks so great this year. And he's got the receivers. Like, that is something that will hurt Murray. And
maybe
that's not entirely his fault. But, like, Beckham has been good since he got there. Jefferson is good. Kupp is arguably the best receiver in football this year. Like, the weapons that Stafford has got might be inflating his numbers and his totals this year, but he's got those guys other than Robert Woods going into this game.
I'm excited to have the pick segment coming up. Bulldog is kind of already done mailing it in, but I love talking about the other games too. There's no pressure when it comes to Arizona and the Rams. We can just sort of, I don't want to sound like, you know, what if we lose, right? We put a moratorium on that earlier in the week. No, what if we lose? So there's just the freedom of talking about, you know, the Packers or something. We'll do a little bit more of that in the pick segment coming up. All right, thanks for watching, those of you who did, on the Facebook stream today, the playoff special. As Bulldog said, we're going to stop that now and just radio only coming up on the pick segment next. This has been the,
like,
yes.
Pioneers over here.
Yeah, look at us.
Settlers. We're just going back to radio.
Look how many options these guys have. Wow. The Dunn Tire Roundtable. It's been fun. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with more next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.